This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
And we are pleased to welcome to UCLA Bruintas a frequent guest. We always enjoy talking to him. He's Forrest Braden. He's the assistant coach for long distance running. That includes cross country. And the Bruins had a great finish last year, coached 13th in the NCAA. Best finish since 1985, and none of the runners were born in 1985, so that was a great year.
It was a good year. We were pretty excited with it. We had really good leadership up front. We had a lot of talent, and we have almost everybody coming back. We lost one guy. We have some dynamic athletes redshirted last year that are coming back, so we're excited.
Mike Maynard said something very interesting about your team last year. He said they train as a pack and they're beginning to run as a pack. Can you explain what he meant by that?
We really try to focus on the team aspect of running. You think, you know, it's an individual sport, but you know, if you have your teammates next to you, if you're running in a pack, you're gonna feed off them. You're gonna be more confident. I mean, if you train with somebody every single day, if you train with three or four or five people every single day, or maybe in our case, hopefully we have 10 guys that can run together, 8 guys. You know, the more people we have in that group, the better we're gonna be. The lower points we're gonna score, which is a good thing in cross country.
We're here in the summer months at UCLA, and obviously running is not a sport that you can just take a few months off, relax a little bit. So tell us a little bit about what your athletes are doing during the summer out of competition season to make sure they're prepared for preseason.
Well, like you guys know, I mean, we have cross country, and then we have indoor track, and then we have outdoor track, and the distance runners do all of those things. So it's a nonstop process. We'll take a week off after the outdoor season ends, and then they'll just start slowly building up their mileage, get some consistent training in. Right now, most of them are kind of in the middle of their summer training, building the foundation, building the base. Nothing crazy. They're running on their own right now. They know they have to get it in, or they're not going to be able to compete their best in the fall. So it's something they're very self-disciplined. They're intrinsically motivated. They know what they have to do, and I provide them with the schedule over the summer for them to accomplish that.
And I know you're not with them, but how do you keep up with them about what they're doing and how they're progressing?
I'll ask that they email, text, call me once a week, once every other week, just to check in. If they have any questions, let me know how things are going. Communicate, keep the communication lines open over the summer.
How about you? What's the summer like for you with your team scattered across the country?
Recruiting. A lot of recruiting. We just got back from Des Moines, the U.S. Championships, I mean, just 2 weeks ago. So the season really carries into almost July for track and field. The USATF or the IAAF World Championships are going on in August in Moscow. So some collegiates are still training all the way up through then. But you know, I've done a lot of recruiting, getting on the phone, some traveling, making some home visits, all that sort of thing.
Well, for those of us who aren't as well versed or knowledgeable in the long distance cross country category, tell us what particular events fall into that long distance category. What kind of athletes are you working with?
You know, really a mix. I mean, we've got some. You know, I mean, they're obviously running is a different sport. That's all you do. I mean, running everything else is conditioning for baseball or you know, soccer. I mean, that's what we do. And so you have to be aerobically fit. You have to have the lung capacity. You have to have the whole aerobic system. And you can build that. But you know, we're looking at the top athletes, top track and field athletes, top distance athletes in the country every year. And you know, you have to be the biggest thing is your heart, your mind, being motivated, and believing in yourself. So mentally strong.
Do you have to guard against some of the runners overrunning, training too hard, too much, too early?
Yeah, I mean that's a good question. That's definitely something that for some of the runners, it's, you know, let's get going, let's get going, let's get going. And for others, it's you know, it's we got to rein you in a little bit. We want to make sure that you're at your best in October and November, which is the Pac-12 and the regional national championships, and not burning out in September. So that's one of the things I closely monitor the athletes on.
I always thought one of the most difficult jobs in track and field is the guy who has to ring the bell for the bell lap in an indoor meet to count the number of times they go around. Of course, in cross country, you're running on a golf course, you're running out in the open, and you have a finish line you can see from a long way off. But tell us about the approach for a runner running a course as opposed to running in a circle.
Well, it's different. That's why you have some runners who are really good cross runners and some that are better on the track. It's not a flat surface. It's not 400 meters or indoors, you know, 200 meters around. It's up and down over hills, you know, sharp turns. Every course is different. It might be a 2K loop. It might be a 3K loop. So there is a big difference, and it's mentally a different challenge running indoor or outdoor as opposed to cross country.
You said a few minutes ago that your mind is really one of the strongest assets or your biggest pitfalls as a runner, but how do you not only train your athletes physically but help them with that mental side of running?
You know, that might be the toughest thing. You know, you can write down the workouts and have the X's and O's perfect, and if someone doesn't get in the race and doesn't believe in themselves and gives up easily, then you know it all that's for naught, really, all that hard work. But you gain confidence off of your workouts. You see what you've done. You've seen that you've hit, you know, oh, that was a great 5x a K workout. I've been hitting the long runs real good. I've gotten, you know, I've been consistent at 85 miles a week for the last 6 months. You can get that confidence from there. And then, you know, my job is to continue to pump them up and to build them up and to let them know that I believe in them and that, you know, they're here for a reason. They're a special athlete. And if they believe in themselves and really just do the best that they can do on that day, they're going to have success.
Judging by the kind of shape you're in, you're still doing a lot of running yourself. You were a great runner in college. How much does it mean to your athletes knowing that you can get out there and do it with them?
I believe that, you know, I try to practice what I preach. And so I think that, you know, they see that I'm still running and having success and still getting out there and putting the miles in and putting the work in. And they can see it's you know, I care about the sport and I love the sport, and I want to instill that same love and same joy of the sport to them as well. So I try to just be a good example to them.
Training for cross country, do your runners run on flat surfaces? Do they run up hills? Do you send them on terrain where there could be obstacles? What is the training regimen like for cross?
It's a little bit different than for track and field. We'll stay off the track. I mean, we won't do workouts on the track during cross country. We'll go to the IM field and do repeats around the IM field. We'll do more fartlek style training, so an on and then an off pace, varying paces, changing the paces. We'll go out to Brentwood Golf Course and do the 2 mile loop around there, and we'll go up into the Santa Monica Mountains and hit some long runs, hit some hills. We'll do hill repeats. So we do a lot of varying types of work. For cross, we stay on for track. The harder sessions, we're usually on the track a little bit more because I want them to get that rhythm, the rhythm of the track. But cross, it's varying. There's no real rhythm to it. There's a feeling you get. You know, you feel the rhythm, but there's no actual cadence like you can get on the track.
Along the same lines, how do you train your athletes differently for outdoor and indoor season? It's got to be hard that you have to prepare athletes for three different seasons.
Yeah, it is. And some athletes don't even run indoors. Some athletes just train the longer guys, the straight 10K runners. They just put the base in throughout indoor season. Maybe do a race for sharpening, for a workout, but they'll just train through and get ready for outdoors. The ones that do both, you know, it is tough. You know, making sure that we don't cheat on their aerobic, you know, on their foundation, their aerobic base. You know, we don't start doing anaerobic work too early or too much speed too early, and you know, then sacrifice that outdoor season because you want them to be able to run both at a high level. So it's just fine tuning and making sure that each athlete responds a little bit differently and a little bit of trial and error and making sure we keep learning, get it right.
As you enter your fifth year at UCLA, how has your coaching style changed since you began?
You know, it's definitely changed. I think that every year, I think no matter how long you've been coaching, you should learn something. I mean, if you're not learning, if you don't learn something from every single year, you know, why continue to do it? But so I definitely think it's been every year I've just I get to know the runners so much better. I get to know each of the athletes so much better. So not only that aspect, I know when a guy comes in their fourth year, I've been with them 3 other years, I know what they respond well to. I know what kind of motivation they respond well to and the training.
But it's very individual, isn't it?
It is.
You can't use the same techniques on everybody.
Right, right. And I try to individualize it as much as I can and make sure that I'm working on their strengths. I'm working on their weaknesses. I know their strengths. I know their weaknesses. But it's definitely, you just learn something about your athletes, about yourself every year. And there's always a mistake you make that you're like, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake this year. And then you smooth that out. And then there's something else. And then you smooth that out. And that's, I think, how you become the greatest coaches. That's what they do. They learn and they get better and they continue to get better. And unless you're winning national championships and year in and year out, there's always something to do better.
Well, 4 Bruins won a Pac-12 postgraduate scholarship this past year, one of them your athlete, Alec Govey. How does it make you feel to know that your athletes are not only responsible on the track or on the cross-country course, but also in the classroom?
Oh, it's great. I mean, they're student-athletes, and they have to be able to do both at a high level, academics and athletics. And, a guy like Alec Covey, he gets it done on the track. He's been a fantastic leader and a fantastic, person to coach the last 4 years. He's actually coming back for an indoor season only this as a fifth year. He got into UCLA Law School, which is also, a fantastic thing. And then for him to be such a great student, it's what it's all about.
When kids are kids, it's easy to say, I'll race you to the corner and see who gets there first. But to train to be a long-distance runner, I just can't imagine what's going through a runner's head when you're halfway through a course. How does one, number one, learn to like that, and number two, maintain the mental discipline and focus to succeed?
Right. Well, it's an acquired taste. but like you said, as kids, you're born with it. You're born with that. Kids love playing tag. You get up and running, and even little toddlers, they're going as fast as they can. So it's something that people are born to run. Anyone can do it, but it does take that training year after year, and especially when especially doing it full time and putting as much miles in as you have to put in, as much work as you have to put in to be a successful distance runner. Some people can't do it, and some people might be good in high school, and they just can't sustain it because it is a lot of work, and it's mentally you have to kind of go to a different place sometimes. And long runs, we'll be out there running for 2 hours up in the hills. But you're not thinking about running. You're not thinking, okay, I'm breathing hard. I'm working up a hill. I'm working. We'll be talking, and hopefully the time goes by fast. In a race, an 8K race, it's a 24-minute race. That's a long time to be out there just really pushing your body. But we train for it, and they've been doing it for a long time, and it's just what they do.
And the new season just about to get underway. Forrest Braden, thanks for coming in, and best of luck to you and the Bruins.
Thanks, appreciate it.
And we're going to come back with more UCLA Bruin Talk right after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Ting Kwa as our Athlete of the Week. Kwa qualified for the FINA World Championships in Barcelona this summer. Kwa advanced to Worlds after competing at the Singapore World Championship Trials, where she placed first in the 200 butterfly with a time of 2:13.77 and first in the 200 freestyle with a time of 2:01.13. While in Singapore, she also placed second in the 100 fly and fourth in the 50 free. The swimmer qualified in the 100 free, 200 butterfly, and 200 freestyle. Congratulations, Ting. We wish you luck in the upcoming competition. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
And here on UCLA Bruin Talk, we're very pleased to welcome the newest coach on campus in Westwood. He's joining the men's water polo program as an assistant, Dustin Litvak. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
You have a great coaching resume, a coach of the year 4 times at Agoura High. U.S. national junior team experience and now coming to UCLA, joining one of the best programs in the country. It's got to be a great thrill for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity. I think when Dan Lason got the job, Dan's a friend of mine a couple of years ago, I looked at that like, wow, what a perfect opportunity for someone to be able to coach at the highest level collegiately and then also run his own club at Rose Bowl, which he did. And I've run Los Angeles Water Polo for quite some time now, and this is such a a great place to be, and the schedules work out where you can do both. And obviously working with Adam and the team, it's really exciting.
UCLA Water Polo has had such a phenomenal history of success. Last year, falling 11-10 in the championship game at SC's home pool. That's about as close as you can get. Tell us about how you think the team has refocused toward this upcoming season.
Well, I mean, I'm new here. I've been here a month, and I know a lot of these players from the junior team and the youth team. And actually, I worked at SC for a couple weeks, which is another story, but with their water polo team. But I think that you have to lose before you can win, and you have to be so close as they were even 3 years ago and then again last year, just to, change the nuances and the little things to get you over the top. And the training is where it comes down to. And, it's hard for me to judge because I haven't seen their trainings. I've just seen their games, before I came in this year. But to me, I mean, the group is doing really well. The group that's over in Russia right now, the group that's training right here, it seems to be very focused. And I think that, at some point you just kind of get sick of losing and you figure out a way to get over the top. But, the challenge is going to be very great next year. There are, I think, in my opinion, five teams that really could win it. Definitely UCLA being one of them. But for the first time, I think really five teams with UOP having a legitimate shot. So, we've got our work cut out for us. And every game is going to be close. Every game is important. And I think that, just staying focused in every single training and understanding how close that they were, will really hopefully make the difference.
You said you've only been here a month here in Westwood, but how's your first month been? What have you been doing? How are you kind of adjusting to your new role?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I kind of got thrown right in the fire because, Adam is gone right now with the WUGS group in Russia. So basically I'm, by myself with the guys that have stayed back running the practices. And then in addition to that, getting used to the behind the scenes things that I haven't had to do at the high school or club scene as far as recruiting and the administrative side of it and learning all the things that go on, at UCLA in the offices. So it's been a little bit overwhelming, but, I think it's also good that I'm just kind of like diving right into it, and hopefully I'll be pretty comfortable in a couple months. And also last week I just actually got back Sunday night from Barcelona with another team, and then I leave in 2 weeks with the junior team for Hungary and Croatia. So I'm still trying to balance all that, but this is just a fantastic place to be. And I grew up a Bruin. My dad went here, and so I've experienced this my whole life being a fan of UCLA, and so it's been great.
And there's a great facility that you'll be coaching in, the Speaker Aquatic Center, one of the best in the nation.
There's no question. And, coming from Agora High School, which traditionally has the worst pool. I mean, we have a 6-lane, 25-yard pool, and we have over 70 kids in the program. So it's a frustrating experience to train there and even to play games there. So having something like this is just unbelievable.
The Mountain Pacific Sports Federation, the best water polo league in the country. And with the recent changes to the NCAA tournament structure, probably only one at-large team coming out of the conference. That's really going to put a great premium on the conference play, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think if you look at the tradition over the last 4 or 5 years since they've made the change, you have to win NorCal's. The first tournament in September, you have to win that because it puts you in such a great position leading into SoCal's, and then obviously each game within the conference is important. But that's where I think USC has kind of gotten a leg up on people the last 4 or 5 years, is they've won that NorCal tournament and it takes the pressure off them a little bit, and they don't have to worry about winning the MPSF tournament, which is 1 week before the NC2A tournament. So they can train right through it and then prepare themselves for the NC2A, where most of the other teams have to win the MPSF tournament. And it's really difficult, I think, to peak 2 weeks in a row. And that's where they've kind of had a leg up the last couple of years.
Well, we've alluded to the fact that you coach club and high school athletes, but now you're jumping into the water with the college athletes. How do you think your experience with the younger guys is going to help you develop these young men?
I think my knowledge of these players before they got here will help me a lot. I mean, I know most of these guys before I even step foot on the pool deck. I've worked with them in junior and youth teams. But to be honest, I've been able to work with athletes just learning the game all the way up to players that have played for so many years. So, I think it's great to be able to use some of the skills and drills that we've done with higher caliber athletes. In addition to that, I've gone overseas to Europe, which is the highest level of water polo in the world, where they have professional leagues in Croatia and Hungary and in Italy, Montenegro. And I've stayed with clubs there for extended period of times, working side by side with their coaches and learning what they do. And I think that also kind of helps me out, working with the higher caliber athletes here, because they're very similar in what you can do with them.
We introduced you by your given name, Dustin, but you go by Dusty.
Either way. Okay. Yeah, either way. It depends on how long you've known me, I guess. But yeah.
Well, we've been here about 5 minutes.
Perfect.
I think that's long enough.
Yes.
Tell us how you got into coaching. I know you played in high school. How did you decide you wanted to be a coach in water polo?
I've grown up my whole life watching sports and being very into athletics, and was a big UCLA fan when the basketball team won in the 90s. I was just getting through high school at that point, and I went to Pepperdine, actually went into a teaching coaching major there in the beginning, and then quickly switched to television production and did that, graduated with that, and I worked on a couple late night talk shows, Politically Incorrect and Jimmy Kimmel Live and another one. And then quickly, realized that I wanted to get back into coaching, and I enjoyed working with the youth and the kids and that sort of thing. And the hours, unfortunately, didn't let me do both. And once I started doing it, there's an opportunity at my alma mater, Agora High School, where the boys coach was stepping down to just do the girls team. And he gave me the opportunity, and I started doing that in about 2003 and just kind of fell in love with it. And little by little, just kind of kept going and worked my way into USA Water Polo, where I was working with the junior team and the youth team. And even this past year, a little bit with the senior national team when Adam was a player, doing some video stuff for them behind the scenes. So, I think I just kind of got hooked, and it's a great sport.
The head coach, Adam Wright, not only an incredible coach, but also an incredible athlete himself. You've got to be looking forward to working with someone who's got such esteem within the sport.
Yeah, there's no question. I think Adam is one of the best coaches out there and clearly one of the best players. I mean, if you watched any of the Olympic Games over the last year, he was constantly talking and coaching from the pool. His knowledge of the game is so vast. And I think also, he'll tell you this, but he's not, the most naturally born gifted athlete. So he had to work really hard for everything he got, which makes him even smarter. And enables him to work with, the players that aren't naturally talented. I think Adam has a great mentality for the sport and for coaching, and I think, we're going to work really well together. We've worked together in the past briefly at camps and things like that. So I think that, myself not having the international experience that Adam has, that he has so much credibility to the players in that sense that he's played at the highest level against the best competition.
And scored some goals in the Olympics last year.
And played, even though the team didn't perform as well, he still played pretty incredibly well. And he's a three-time Olympian. I mean, it's hard to argue with someone who's had that kind of success.
Water polo is a very small community. Everybody seems to know everybody else inside the community, but it hasn't had a big public persona until recently. Now you've got the Olympic coverage and the Pac-12 network, which is going to show a lot of your game. How has that increased the visibility of the sport to the general sports fan, people who might not have been raised on water polo?
I mean, it's you can't even measure what kind of impact it's going to have. And even right now, with the World University Games going on in Russia, ESPN University is televising the game. I got up at 4:30 this morning to watch them play Belgium, which is great. Unfortunately, water polo is not a spectator sport in the United States. If you go to Serbia, Montenegro, Hungary, it's on TV every week. And the professional leagues, they look up to those players as well as they look up to soccer players and things like that. But, the players that we have here, the younger players, they have a ceiling. And they'd only get to see, a certain level of water polo. If you can imagine basketball players growing up not seeing the NBA, they would have no idea how good they could get. And I think that's unfortunately holds back a lot of our younger players here in the States. So, having this coverage, I think, is great for players and families that already know about water polo. I'm still not sure how well it's translated on TV to players that aren't familiar with the sport. I mean, there's a lot of criticism on the whistles, and it's difficult to shoot a sport in the water with the glare and things like that. They did a great job in London. I think they actually put a chemical in the water, so the glare wasn't so bad, and I thought that was really helpful. And, it's great that our women's team took the gold. I think that's huge for the sport. And our men's team took the silver in 2008. So, all of these things, the more exposure our sport can get, the better for sure.
Dan, wonderful to see former UCLA head coach Adam Kerkorian jumping in the water with the rest of the coaches.
Absolutely.
And the women won the
Absolutely,
gold.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what do you think you're going to bring to the table this year? This new Bruin team, you've got new kids coming in, you've got a solid core of returning players, but what do you think you, as a new assistant coach, will do to help this team progress?
You know, like you mentioned, we have 16 incoming freshmen. I think, you know, on the behind the scenes part, you know, I'm very organized and I can stay on top of those sorts of things. But at the same time, I have a very good familiarity with the upcoming players because I'm so involved in the Olympic development program. And I have been for years with the youth and junior teams. So I have a good knowledge of the players coming up through the pipeline. You know, UCLA is one of the most applied to schools in the nation. So, you know, Adam and I have to filter through, you know, daily all the athletes that want to attend and play water polo here. And, you know, we can't take them all on that side. You know, as far as tactically and on the pool deck, you know, I've been a head coach for 10 years. So, you know, I am, to me, it's almost like we're going to have two head coaches on deck. And when you have as many athletes as we have, I think, you know, that's going to be a tremendous value. And I think as well as Dan was a head coach for a long time. He had a lot of experience. So I think just having that sort of knowledge. And then also, I think sometimes when you're removed from the situation, you see things a little bit differently. And since I've been removed the last couple of years, maybe I have some thoughts or ideas that are new. I mean, Adam is very open to, you know, new drills and new ideas, and we've talked about a lot of these things. And you know, our goal is the same, to get over the hump, you know, and bring home the title. And I think that, you know, we're going to do whatever we can to make it happen this year.
Coach, we welcome you to UCLA. Thanks for coming into UCLA Bruin Talk.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us. Allison and I will be back next week with another great show. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.